Well, it sure sounded good to hear those Happy New Years this morning. I'm ready for a new year. 2015 was a good year in so many ways, and yet it also had a lot of heartache and a lot of difficulty. Anybody else have that experience in 2015? Why, sure. And I don't know what this year holds, but I tell you, I like the start of the new year. There's something good about it. It's like turning a page in a novel and can't wait to get to the next chapter. And here's where we are as we face this new year. A lot of stuff is getting cranked back up too. I like that as well. Wednesday night, we're back to a full schedule. The ladies are going to have prepared a great meal on Wednesday night. If you don't usually get here on Wednesday nights, you're missing it. So there's plenty of things going on. I want to say just a word in addition to what Tim said about the grief share. I know because of just being around many of you this year, how many within this fellowship have lost loved ones over the past year. And this ministry called Grief Share is a real opportunity for you to experience some encouragement and some healing and to kind of come alongside some other people and be benefited from them who've walked through similar things. And you'll be a blessing to them as well. That schedule's there in the bulletin, and let me encourage many of you who have walked through that. It doesn't have to have just been in the last months or even the last year or two. If that is still an issue, and it will always be, that you're dealing with, let me encourage you to come and see how that is. I'm glad to see our students back. They've been on their winter retreat, and tonight during the evening service, they're going to share a report with us about their time away. We've got a college group that's away at a Passion Conference in Atlanta as well. That's good. I hope that you've started with me reading through the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs this year. If you haven't, this is still a good time to decide to jump into it. Because on January the 1st, we read the first chapter of Matthew, and we read the second chapter tomorrow. So you could hop right in and be with us as we read a chapter a day of the New Testament, giving plenty of time for reflection, pencil and paper, write down some insights that you see, and perhaps generate some conversation around the table at the house or with friends at work and whatnot. On the weekends, we're reading Proverbs. And then Psalms as well, and there's a schedule out there in the vestibule and on our website and in the bulletin for the week. I would encourage you to bite that off. You may have never been able to complete that task. Now, this past year, we read through the whole Bible, and that means several chapters a day. But this year, we're kind of scaling back just a little bit, not that it's any less important, but reading less material, but giving time for reflection. Use that as a time to generate prayer to God about what you're reading there in the Scripture. So I hope that you'll be a part of that. And then Saturday with Upward getting cranked up, how much fun will that be? And I hope that you'll be in your place. I told you, I just like the new year. There's just something good and energizing in my own heart. And I'll be honest with you, I limped out of this year, out of 2015. And just over the past few days and weeks, the Lord has begun just to kind of renew my own spirit. And I thought how important that is for us as we face a new year to talk about a refreshing and a renewing of our walk with God. We're going to talk about that. And we usually want to think about the nation, how desperately we need revival and renewing in the nation. We could say that within the life of the church and within the life of the churches of the Lord Jesus. This morning, I want us to focus more on our own personal renewing and reviving. So I'd like you to open your Bible to a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. It's found in 2 Chronicles. Now, 2 Chronicles is one of those books over in the Old Testament, page 454 in the Bible that I've got, but somewhere close to there perhaps in the Bible that you have as well. You know, I think the Lord at times just kind of encourages our heart with the need for a refreshing and a reviving. You know, it may not be necessarily that we've wandered off the reservation, so to speak, but maybe just through the stresses and the responsibilities and the heartaches and the pressure that we find ourselves just a little distance from God than where we've experienced at other times in our life. And I think those are kind things that the Lord gives us as well. The kind part is the fact that we come to that realization and that recognition in our own life. Hey, listen, I'm dry. Spiritually, I'm not vibrant. I desire for that to happen. I desire to know the Lord in a closer walk, in a closer relationship. But if I'm honest, I'm just not right there. Listen, how kind of the Lord to remind us of that, yeah? Well, why would we continue in that pattern, having been reminded of our need for a refreshing and a renewing in our walk with God? This is a verse, I'm going to jump right in the middle of a chapter. This verse has a context, and we'll talk just a little bit about that. But I want us to apply this verse, it's very familiar to our own hearts and lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. The verse says, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Now, the big context of this is these are words that God is giving to Solomon. And we tend to start at 14 and forget what verse 13 says. God said, listen, if I bring hardship upon the land, if I bring difficulty, if I bring judgment on the land, if those kind of things begin to evidence themselves, then, verse 14, it's in place. Now, I don't know about you, but when I step back and look at the big picture, I would say that God has brought a pestilence to this land. He has brought judgment on this land, on this country because of our ignoring him, our trying to read him out of the common public life of the United States of America. There are always consequences for those things. But I don't want to talk about America today. I want to talk about us. But more specifically, I want to talk about this verse in view of God's viewpoint of it. We have a tendency to immediately jump to ourselves and what we need to do and those kind of things. And it becomes very man-centered, even this verse, this wonderful verse does. But I want to help us this morning just kind of peel back behind the scenes. And I want you to see what's on the heart of God in this verse. Let's consider it together. First of all, I want you to notice the desire of God. The desire of God that we see here in this verse. Notice that it begins with this condition, and my people, or if my people. There's a condition there for these future or these other blessings of God. Listen, that's a reminder to all of us that reviving, refreshing, renewal in our own hearts, again, even as it is in the land, is a sovereign work of God. God is the one behind the scenes. Listen, we are not the captain of this ship that we're on. We're not the captain of our life. The Lord Himself undergirds and undermines and is working His purposes in our heart and in our life, the work of God. But notice behind this condition, this if, is the desire of God to send that new wave of revival. You see what I'm saying? If that was not there, then it's pointless what else we do. It's pointless how we respond. If it's not the desire of God to bring refreshing and to bring renewal to His people, then it's pointless. But hear me, it is His desire to do that. The Lord desires for His people to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be revived. Those conditions have to be met. There are conditions that have to be met. But unless He desired to move, it's pointless. He longs to send revival, refreshing, renewal. Let me ask you this morning, individually, in your own heart, in your own life, are you in need of refreshing in your life? Renewal? Are you in need of a closer fellowship and walk with God? Hear me. God desires for you to experience that. He desires for you to know that. It's on His heart. It's His desire to bring about refreshing and renewal to His people. So there's the desire of God, but we got to go a little bit further and look at the design here. Notice that there's a condition that's placed here, not only the if my people or and my people, but there is the design of God. This is about my people, those who are called by my name. Listen, if refreshing and renewal is going to come, it's going to come to the heart and the life of one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who are His people by the new birth, by being placed into the body, by being elevated to the position of being sons and daughters of God and being heirs with Christ. There is where the design is. It comes to His people when they're convicted of their neglect and when they begin to call out to Him. It's His people. Now I tell you, there's a side where the Lord brings about a call to renewing and refreshing in the heart of every man. That's the very moment of salvation. That's the call of the gospel to the heart and the lives of people. And you may be here this morning. And that may be the renewing and the reviving that you need. But listen, you don't need a fixed up heart. You need a new heart. You don't need an improved relationship with God. You need a real relationship with God that only comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a design. His design is to save His people. His design is for them to be renewed. Listen, that tells me that God's issue with the world is not with ISIS or Al-Qaeda or all those other kind of groups. It's not even with the Supreme Court or Kim Jong-un or whatever that dude's name is over there in North Korea. That's not the concern of God. That's not His issue. His issue is with His people. Hey, listen, that's you and me. The one whom God is desiring to bring closer to Himself, to give renewing and refreshing, is to His people. Hey, are you His people? That's His desire for you. That's His design to do that. You know, it's the idea that Jesus talks about of us removing the splinter from our own eye before we start pulling the beam out of somebody else's eye. Or maybe it's the other way around. Us pull the beam out of our eye before we go out the splinter out of somebody else. It's so easy to talk about those folks. But it's quite different when we talk about ourselves. The need of refreshing. The condition of if is not placed on the godless, but on the righteous. If my people, those whom I've redeemed by my strong blood, if my people, those in whom I place my name, they're called by my name, if there's the condition. So again, are we in need? Are you as an individual in need of personal revival? That condition must be met. You must first be a child of God. And secondly, you must understand and see your need. You must recognize that. Well, there's a third thing here that the verse talks about, and that's the demand of God. We've kind of been hitting to that. There's the condition, if my people. What are those conditions? What are the demands of God? And it's fourfold. I want you to see there are four actions that comprise this demand of God. This if my people, if they'll do these things, then refreshing and renewal. Listen, the reality is there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut if revival and refreshing is to come. It's not going to be because we turn over a new leaf. It's not going to be because we decide, okay, well, I'm going to have some resolutions and I'm going to treat people better and we start through our whole list of things. I'm going to attend church more. I'm going to give more money, all that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with those things. But that's not what brings about renewal and refreshing. God in this verse here tells us what those conditions are. And here's the first one. It's the attitude of humility. And I tell you, humility flies in the face of everything we're about. We've been told from when we were little bitty people about how wonderful we are, right? You're wonderful. You're special. And we have a tendency as we get older, those words that were meant for encouragement become a source of pride and ego in our own heart and our life. And we get a little bit too big for our britches. If my people will do, first of all, humble themselves. Humility. And you know, and humility is simply this. It begins with recognizing our need. Listen, nobody but you knows if your heart is dry or if your heart is cool or, oh forbid, even cold toward God this morning. Only you know that. And the first part of refreshing and renewal is to begin to see that, to recognize it, and to confess it. That means we've got to die to spiritual pride that, listen, I got it together. I'm doing better than most other people are doing and all that kind of stuff. No, we've got to have the attitude that we read about in Psalm 51, verse 17, where the Scripture says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." A broken and a contrite heart. A heart of humility before God. A heart of recognizing, hey, listen, the reason there's coolness or a need of refreshing in my heart is not because you've changed. It's because I have. Because I've wandered away. Because I've let some things go that I know I need to do. And there comes that point where we acknowledge that in humility before God. Because listen, if we don't, the Scripture says that God opposes the proud. Oh, but he gives grace to the humble. Would you be willing to humble your heart before God today if you see a need of refreshing in your life? Well, there's one of the conditions, one of the actions. The second one is this one of prayer. If my people humble themselves and pray. And this is not the act of saying prayers, but rather this is an earnest calling out to God. Now, this is doing business on our knees or on our feet or with our head raised to heaven or Lord before heaven. This is earnest praying before God. Listen, this is the one we all want to jump over. I'll confess my needs, but I don't want to. Prayer, laboring in prayer is an action that seems to be needed here. But let me try to encourage us with the results of that so often, though. Let me show you what happens in Acts chapter 4. This is just a fun passage to me. Acts chapter 4. The boys have been thrown in prison, Peter and John, and released. And then so they're gathering together here. And listen to these words beginning in verse 27 of Acts 4. "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." You see what they're praying for? "While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." That's what they're praying about. Listen, those are not flippant matters that they're praying about. They're saying, God, there are those who are after us. They're opposing the name of Christ and opposing us as well. Help us there. But then help us to speak forth the gospel, speak forth the word. Now, that I think that's earnest praying is my point. Now look at the next verse, what happens. Verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." Listen, the very things that they were praying about earnestly are the very things that God granted to them. The assurance of His presence, of His Spirit. Why should I fear men when I'm indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, believer? Why should I be silent before men when we have boldness to proclaim the gospel and to converse with people about that? The coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's just interesting to me that after this earnest time of prayer, then God moved. Now listen, all the history of revivals, if you've read at all about those things, it seems that they are all preceded by a person and then a group of people and perhaps even many people who began to pray earnestly. Can I just say, in your own spiritual life, earnest prayer precedes a move of God. Let us pray earnestly. But it keeps going. Here in 2 Chronicles again, the third action is this one of seek my face. Seek His face. In other words, what he's saying here is seek with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13 speaks about that. God said, you'll find me when you seek for me, watch this, with all your heart. We don't deal flippantly with our God. And listen, we cannot deal flippantly with our spiritual condition or our need of renewal or refreshing with God as well. We must seek His face. We must, with our whole heart, do those things. Listen, we tend to spend more time seeking God's material blessing or physical blessing in our life. But he says here, seek my face. In other words, he's saying, seek me in my fullness. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you before, but there were times when as a parent, I would grasp my child's face and say, look at me. I had to do that in children's choir a few times along the way either, because the kids, I'd be talking to them and they'd be like, what's that over there? And you know, anything but that. And I had to get their attention. And so I would just hold their face and say, look at me. Now listen. In the same way, I think that's what, this is kind of a bad illustration, but I think that's kind of what's going on here. God said, seek my face. In other words, give attention. Concentrate. Look to me. Look at me. Consider who I am. Consider your need. Seek my face. Those are prerequisites. Those are actions that precede Him moving and working. And then the last one is the one, of course, you'd know this would be true. Having humbled ourselves and having prayed earnestly and having to seek His face, guess what happens? In the midst of that, we understand really how far we've wandered. You know, rather than the idea of God, well, God, you just departed from me. Suddenly we begin to see, when we begin to seek Him, that it's us, that we've harbored sin in our heart or resentment in our heart toward God or toward other people. And we must turn from those things. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must deal with our sin. I like the way Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says. Listen to these words. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. In other words, if I try to keep them unspoken, unreferenced, undealt with, we will not prosper. But here's the promise. But he who confesses and forsakes. We're not bad sometimes at the confession part, but we don't want to follow through that next part and forsake. But he says, here's the blessing. But he who confesses and forsakes, them will find compassion. The heart, the delight of this God who wants to renew and restore His people, to revive their hearts and to give them spiritual energy about the task that's before them, says we must first deal with our sin. Can I ask you a personal question again, just in light of that? Are there resentments that you have toward God or toward others that you've been unwilling to deal with? Are there sins that you know that violate God's perfect will for your heart and your life, and you're persisting in those things? Can I just encourage you with this passage here to lay those things down, to confess and forsake, so that you might experience renewal and refreshing in your heart? Well, we've talked about several things here. One more I want to talk to you about is the delight of God. Here's the heart of God toward his people, desiring for them to be renewed and refreshed. Here's how God tells us. This is how you can experience it. But notice the delight of God in this verse. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, here it is, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Three actions that God references here that he will delight to do. Listen, we aren't twisting his arm. We aren't getting him to do something that he doesn't want to do. He delights to do these things. And what are they? Well, the first is he delights to hear. He delights to hear from his children when they come in humility before him, when they come in confession before him, when they come seeking him and not his, not what he can do for them, but seeking him, desiring him. He says, listen, I'll hear. My ears are attentive. You don't have to grab his face. He is attentive. His face, his desire is attentive toward his people. And then he says, I'll forgive their sin. Oh, the blessedness of sin being forgiven. No longer against us. No longer plaguing and weighing down our own conscience. But it's been forgiven. It's been lifted. It's been taken away. God delights to forgive sin that is confessed. And then finally, he says, I'll heal their land. And in the context of what we're talking about this morning, I like to look at it this way. He'll heal your life. He'll bring refreshing and renewal, revival to your heart and to your life. He delights to do those things for his children. I want you just to imagine for just a minute a parent with a child who has disobeyed or who has rejected them or maybe even run away. That parent would long for the restoration of that child, wouldn't they? You know, if that was your child, you would long for the restoration of that child. Now, imagine that that child comes to his parents in a humble spirit, looks mom or dad in the face, in their eyes, and asks for forgiveness and promises to obey. How does a parent respond to that? Well, I don't know. I won't, there might be some changes around here. I'm telling you. Is that what happens? No. The heart of a parent toward a child who is broken and confesses and is coming back is to forgive because they want to. They've desired it. That whole time they've been out there somewhere else, they've desired that very moment, haven't they? God delights to hear that from his child, from his children. Don't you think he responds the same way? I'm sure that he does. Because Jesus told the story about a son who got his inheritance and went away and wasted it. Squandered it, wasted his life. And he came to his senses. Convicting power of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of a child of God. And he comes to himself, and he comes back. And he's got that whole speech that I just went through already. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get there, and when I find Dad, I'm going to get down on my knees before him. I'm going to hold his hand. I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to tell him how sorry I am and that I don't want anything from him. I don't want anything from you. I just want to be back home. And you know, the story is, when the father saw him from a distance, what did he do? Man, about time you got here. Is that what it is? No. Guess what happens? The father runs to him and embraces him, restores him. You need restoration today. You need refreshing in your life. You need renewal with your walk with God. Hey, listen, God desires that. He delights to bring that. Will you come to Him? Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, as we start a new year, just in renewal of our own heart before You, we acknowledge Your kindness and Your mercy to us. Lord, I thank You for how that You don't let us go, that You pursue us and draw us back and bring conviction to our hearts and open our hearts and our minds to our need. And Father, I pray for grace in the lives of many in this room today who need a refreshing, who need renewal and revival in their hearts. Oh God, restore Your children today to Yourself. And Father, as a body today, we present ourselves to You for Your purposes, for Your plans. And we don't begin to instruct You about what to do with our lives. We simply give them to You and thank You for what You'll do. For Your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let it sing always only for my King, always only for my King.
Well, I'm going to close and say that I wish for you a happy new year. But understand what I'm saying when I say a happy new year. I wish for every child of God a renewal and a refreshing in your life this year. And listen, that doesn't mean it's going to go easy. I have yet to experience one of those years. Anybody else had one of those years where everything was all lovely? No, no. Because we're in the laboratory of what God's doing in our heart and our life, and He's got purposes for His kingdom and for His church and for your life way beyond what we understand. But hear me, in the midst of it, what we're walking through, He delights to restore and refresh and renew His children. So that's what I wish for us this year. Amen? Amen. Amen. May God bring it. Let me pray. Father, we again commit ourselves to You. Accomplish Your purposes in a way that's going to get much glory to Yourself. And care for Your children for Your sake. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.